Do or die, win or go home, winner take all. The Giants and Dodgers playing tonight in this decisive NLDS Game 5. Both teams with 109 wins on the season. And the first to 110 will have the right to play the Braves in the National League Championship Series. So obviously everything on the line tonight. And we're going to do a mailbag. We have a ton of questions about this game, about, you know, who's going to win. Are there any stats that, you know, suggest the Giants may be due to break out at the plate? We're going to talk about the home plate umpire, the plan against Julio Urias, Kevin Gausman, if he's going to maybe appear in this game out of the bullpen. So lots of great questions to get to on today's Locked On Giants podcast.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you so much for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, which now includes YouTube as well. And coming up on today's show, as I said, we're going to get into some mailbag questions as the Giants are taking on the Dodgers tonight in this decisive NLDS Game 5. Logan Webb on the mound for the Giants, Julio Urias on the mound for the Dodgers. Giants offense obviously struggling right now, but they've managed to split this series so far, and all you need to do is win one game tonight, and you can move on, get a best-of-seven series with the Braves. So everything on the line tonight, and without further delay, let's jump into the mailbag questions. Eugene, I think I'm probably mispronouncing that, asks or says, give us some stats that'll make us feel good about Thursday's game. Hoagie says, are we winning game five? Brian says, is everything going to be okay? And Patrick says, who will be the Giants' Game 5 hero? So a lot of questions there that I'm kind of lumping together. But the first one, I think, is the one where I want to start, is basically, are there stats that suggest that we may be able to feel good about Thursday's game, or stats that would make us feel good about Thursday's game? And for me, it's about the offense. I know that it's weird to say that that's something that would make us feel good about it, but the fact is that they're not this bad. They're not, like, if you look across the board at the offensive numbers, a lot of it has to do with Dodgers pitching. In fact, I would go so far as to say most of it has to do with Dodgers pitching. But, you know, they're bound to break out at some point, and hopefully that point is tonight. I know that the hashtag they're due has, you know, is something that we're rallying behind on Twitter, and I agree with that. I mean, the concept of being due, you know, the statisticians, and I consider myself kind of among the statisticians, will say that there's no such thing. But what that basically means for me is they're not, you know, going to reach base none of the time. And that's what we've seen from a lot of these Giants hitters. I put out on Twitter yesterday, and it kind of blew up, how half of the Giants position players, 7 of the 14, are a combined 0 for 39 in the series. And yeah, if you give them enough of a sample, they're obviously going to improve a lot. The issue is you only have one game to do it. And so there's no guarantee that in this one game they're going to reach that, you know, positive regression. But I have hope because, first of all, I just liked that right-handed lineup that they put out there against Julio Urias in game two. I really did like it. Darren Ruff at the top, Chris Bryant second. Those guys have been historically in their careers just absolutely lethal against left-handed pitching. And so I just like their chances of being able to do something. And we have seen Chris Bryant is having a good series. I would like to see him continue to hit near the top of the lineup, and I'm confident that he will. Austin Slater had a pretty good game, if memory serves, when he faced Urias, his only start of the series. So Austin Slater could contribute. Buster Posey has contributed, and he's going to be in there as a right-handed bat against the lefty starter, Urias. So Flores, Solano, Ruff, those guys haven't done anything yet, but there's, you know, they have a track record of success against left-handed pitching. So sooner or later, I just like their chances of doing something at the plate. Whereas on the Dodgers side, they've done stuff at the plate. And so they're not necessarily bound to get better, whereas the Giants are. So the fact that the Giants have managed to split this series so far, to me, like, I'm not going to say it bodes well necessarily for this game, but expect the Giants offense. I expect them to be better. And why not start tonight? Why not have a little breakout at the plate for some of these key players? And so the question, who's going to be the Giants game five hero? If I had to say the most likely player, if we're looking for a hero, would probably be the starting pitcher, Logan Webb. But also, I have a hunch about Darren Ruff. Now, this will be a freezing cold take if he continues to take at bats the way that he has in this series. He has not looked good in this series, but he is a monster against left-handed pitching. He figures to get a couple of at bats towards the top of the lineup against a left-handed pitcher. I just look for him to do something tonight. We've got Chris Bryant, as I said, Wilmer Flores, Buster Posey, Austin Slater. A lot of righty bats who can do something against a left-handed starter. So why not tonight? Why not tonight? So the question, are we winning game five? I originally predicted Giants in five when we were previewing this series, and nothing has changed for me. It hasn't necessarily been the prettiest way to get here. The Giants offense has been poor, frankly, but it all doesn't matter. You know, you've just got to go out there and win one game tonight. You can hit a ton tonight and nobody cares. It doesn't matter. Or you could just win 1-0 and it doesn't matter. You would have won the series. So yeah, I'm going to say they're going to win in five. And I guess, Brian, that would mean everything would be okay in my world. If the Giants beat the Dodgers, eliminate the Dodgers, everything would be okay. And I think we could all agree on that. So the next set of questions are going to be about the Giants' game plan against Julio Urias. There's a lot of questions about Urias. They're all good. Talking about, are they going to be aggressive? Are you concerned about the Giants hitting against Urias, who kind of dominated against them in his last start in game two? And some more questions about him as well. So stay tuned for that. But first, this episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the exact same auto parts from a chain store or car dealership? You can, you know, have the dealership tell you the part you need, order it from rockauto.com yourself, and have them install it, and you would be saving a bunch of money that way. It really doesn't make any sense to be buying from a chain store or car dealership when you can, you know, find the same part from rockauto.com. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, as promised, we are going to get into more questions. Questions about Julio Urias, good questions, and then we're going to mix in some conversations about the home plate umpire, who unfortunately I think is going to have more of an impact on this game than he should, and potentially an enormous impact, unfortunately. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. So, first question from Katie, who says, do you think the Giants will be aggressive early against Urias? Kevin says, Urias has only walked two against us in the last 23 innings. Should the approach be more patient or should they hack early in the count? Jen Eric says, are you as concerned as I am about hitting against Urias? John says, have the Giants had any success against Urias this year? Trevor asks if we're going to see any surprise lefties in the lineup against Urias. And then Dan asks a similar question about if the Giants have had success against Urias. So again, yeah, a lot of questions about the Dodgers left-handed starter tonight. And in terms of Katie and Kevin's questions about should the Giants be aggressive, this is a really interesting one for me because the home plate umpire tonight is Doug Eddings, and he is known as having one of the biggest strike zones in all of baseball, unfortunately. And so, you know, I'll hate to see it if it happens, but having a home plate umpire just have a big influence on a game like this, to me, just can't happen. And the league absolutely has to do something about this. I've been beating this drum for a long time, but the fact that we now have the, you know, StatCast automated strike zone box on our television sets and, you know, these umpire scorecards come out on Twitter every day, and we can all just see with pretty good precision how bad these umpires are. And to be fair, it is a tough job. Like, they are probably the best in the world at doing this. I'm sure there are some, you know, umpires in the minor leagues who could possibly do a better job than some of the umpires in the major leagues. And that's part of the problem, is there's really no accountability as far as I can tell. Umpires aren't penalized for having bad strike zones. They just stay here even if they have bad zones. But it just can't happen. It's a hard job though. So the thing is, let the computer do it because it's such a hard job. And the computer, you know, it's not a computer. It's a, you know, radar. I forget, I'm blanking on exactly what this Hawkeye system is using. I think it's radar. But anyway, we have the technology now, and it's a shame to see on each and every night how much the umpires influence the outcome of the game. And so in terms of Urias, to get to the actual questions, the concern that I have, if you're talking about trying to be more patient against him, is it's a big zone. And so a good pitcher like Urias, in theory, will be able to exploit that, and he'll be able to kind of be even more fine with his pitches and not just come right at you over the heart of the plate. And so if you're aggressive and you're also getting, you know, the pitcher is also getting a big strike zone, that's potentially a recipe for a bad offensive night. And it's potentially a recipe for chasing a lot. But what I actually mean is that they have to be aggressive, because if they're patient, they're going to get in bad counts because of the home plate umpire. And so this is where I have concern. If there's a combination of those two things, if the Giants are aggressive and the pitcher is getting pitches out of the strike zone called strikes, it could be a long night for the Giants offense. But on the flip side, Logan Webb should in theory be able to exploit this as well. So it, again, it's unfortunate that this is even part of the conversation. I wish we just called a fair strike zone, because not only are these two 109 win teams and they deserve, you know, a rule book strike zone, but they're also teams that are known for having the best plate discipline in the game and being the most selective in the game. And the Giants' philosophy is to lay off pitches that they can't drive and to only swing if they can drive the ball. And that includes taking pitches that are in the strike zone, even for called strike three, if it's not in an area where you can do damage. That is their philosophy. It has worked out beautifully. They led the league in home runs. They had a great offensive season. They score a bunch of runs. But on a night where you have a good pitcher and a bad strike zone, it doesn't necessarily work into your favor. But the Dodgers are the exact same way. So it's not clear who will be able to take advantage the most. But now that I say it, I think the Giants are going to stick to what got them here. They're not going to suddenly start expanding their zone. But what comes into play there is that maybe the home plate umpire has more of a say than you would like. And maybe you're seeing some good takes, but the Giants not getting rewarded for it. And that's really frustrating. But that very well could be what we see. But the Dodgers could be the same way. So remains to be seen who it'll help. And the kind of key factor here is that pitchers are not always on. And so Julio Urias, we've seen him a lot at his best, but when he's not at his best, he's not able to command those pitches, you know, and maybe he's trying to throw it on the edges and it's coming up and over the middle of the plate. And so that's kind of the hope that you have if you're a Giants fan, is just that Julio Urias is not sharp. And yeah, we've seen him at, you know, not being sharp at times. I mean, he's often sharp, but we have seen him, including this year. Yeah, the Giants have done some damage against him in a game this year. It was earlier in the season. He actually made two straight starts against the Giants. His first one, the first of two, coming on May 23rd, 6 innings, 2 runs allowed, 10 strikeouts, 0 walks. That's eerily similar to Logan Webb's, I think, 10 strikeouts and 0 walks. But anyway, so hopefully that, I mean, why would that mean anything? It just goes to show you can dominate one day and then not dominate the next. And that's what we saw. His very next start was on May 29th against the Giants in LA. The start in San Francisco was when he dominated. And then in LA, he went 5 innings, only had 5 strikeouts, did walk 2, and allowed 7 runs on 11 hits. Probably one of his worst starts of the year, if I had the time to like go through. Yeah, just glancing through, it's the only time I think he allowed 6 earned runs and 7 runs total in a start this year. So maybe seeing him back-to-back games, you know, could help the Giants. But on the flip side, the Dodgers are seeing Logan Webb, and by back-to-back games, I mean back-to-back starts for that pitcher. So you just never know. And we saw an example of it in May, that he can dominate one day and they can get to him the next. So that's the thing. Any pitcher on any given night, if they're really particularly sharp, they can dominate a lineup, no matter how good that lineup is. That's what we saw from Logan Webb in game one of this series. We've seen that from, you know, Buehler did it in game four. Scherzer mostly dominated except for the one homer in game three. So a lot of it is going to come down to just how sharp are the starting pitchers. One other factor is that the Giants do have kind of a secret weapon looming in the bullpen. I think the Giants pitching is set up pretty darn well for tonight. I've seen a lot of like concern about the Giants bullpen not being rested because they were all used in game four, but I don't really understand that because they had a day off yesterday. And so to me, everyone is going to be available, and it's not, I don't think they're stretching themselves thin by doing that. And so you've got your best pitcher on the mound. You've got Kevin Gausman fully rested, he's definitely able to come into this game in relief. And you've got a completely rested bullpen. Camilo Doval didn't even pitch in game four, so he's going to be good to go. We've seen that he can go multiple innings. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. There are questions about this that I want to get to next. But before we do, we're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, and hey, how about postseason baseball? Don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, last set of questions and answers here before we turn the page. And, you know, by the time you're listening to this, who knows, you know, the game could be right around the corner. So yeah, a lot of nervous anticipation leading up to this. It's the only game in town in baseball, so anyone who's a baseball fan is tuning in tonight. So this is obviously, for the Giants by themselves, it's a huge game, but in the national baseball universe, it is a enormous game, and it's the only show in town, kind of like a World Series game where there's nothing else on. People are watching this game. I don't know what the national kind of opinion has been of this series. Giants, frankly, haven't looked very good. And I don't, it bothers me. It bothers me in a weird way that I can't explain that the Giants haven't been hitting, because people continue to think this is a team that's all about pitching, defense, timely hitting. I really can't stand that phrase, and I know a lot of you listening probably think of the Giants that way, but they're not really. The hitting is not timely hitting. They are the number one power hitting team in the game this year. You know, they hit more home runs than any National League team. It's not really fair to compare them to American League teams who get an extra hitter in the lineup, the Giants having a pitcher in the lineup, and their pitchers had one home run this year. And I don't know. I mean, a huge part of the Giants' identity is scoring runs, offense, hitting the ball out of the ballpark, but also getting on base. They're not just one-dimensional, you know, hackers who just come out of their shoes trying to hit home runs on every single pitch. They're patient and they hit for power. And that's a lot of what the Dodgers' identity is as well. And the Giants actually had a better offensive season than the Dodgers by weighted runs created plus. And so, I mean, that's amazing, because if you look at the talent on the Dodgers, it's just ridiculous how talented that Dodgers team. But the Giants have one-upped them all season long. So, hey, why not one more time tonight? One of these teams is going home. It's kind of unfortunate. I think this should have been a 7-game series. I think the division series in general should be 7 games. But hey, that's the rules that we are operating under. And somebody's going home tonight. And hopefully it is that team in blue. So, yeah, as we wrap up here, but let's get into the last round of questions. There are questions about the umpire. I think I covered that. And basically the question is, are they going to take the umpire strike zone into account establishing a game plan? As I was answering that question, offensively, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to expand their strike zone just because of the umpire. I think they're going to be disciplined, because their whole thing is get a pitch you can drive and otherwise don't swing. And so I think they'll continue to try to do that. But on the pitching side, yeah, if you're getting pitches out of the strike zone called strikes, you should try to be hitting those spots. So I think they will prepare for it in that way. Breezy asks, with everyone available in the pen, how aggressive do you think expect Kapler to be? Trevor says, could we see Webb and Gausman in Game 5? Lance says, Logan followed by Kevin if necessary, followed by Camilo, I would imagine, if things go as planned, right? Josh says, is Gausman available out of the pen? Lots of questions. Somebody wants, Statman Stringer asks if Tyler Rogers has been overused and could be considered unavailable in Game 5. And then who else is trusted behind Webb besides Doval and Gausman? So yeah, a lot of questions about Gausman. He is definitely 100% available to come into this game. And I think that's a good thing. I've seen some talk about how you don't want to see Kevin Gausman in this game, and that would be a bad sign. But I would anticipate him potentially just throwing an inning out of relief and not just coming in if Logan Webb can't go deep. But maybe, you know, it's in the sixth inning and Webb allows a couple base runners. You could see Kevin Gausman. They might not want him to come into an existing inning with guys on base and maybe want to give him a fresh inning. So that's one consideration. But he could just pitch an inning, like maybe a seventh inning, because I don't think Tyler Rogers, I mean, yeah, there's definitely a case to be made. He's been overused. I don't know if he has, but he's been used a lot. He pitched in parts of 3 innings, which I've never seen him do in game 3, pitched in the 5th, 6th, and 7th. He didn't, you know, pitch 3 innings. He pitched 1 out in the 5th and 1 out in the 7th, but 3 outs in between. And then he pitched again the next day. But yesterday was an off day, so I think he's available. And he's got a rubber arm. You know, it's not a ton of stress when you're throwing from down under. I would imagine it's definitely less stress on the arm. But they trust him, and I think that he's definitely available. I don't think he's considered unavailable at all. But yeah, those are the guys. If I had to put money on who's going to pitch in this game, I would say that nobody other than Logan Webb, Kevin Gausman, Tyler Rogers, and Camilo Doval. Maybe throw in a lefty. I don't know if that number one lefty would be Harleen Garcia or Jake McGee, but they may need to bring in a lefty at some point, and those would be a couple of the options. It does hurt not to have Tony Watson right now, because Watson is kind of a trusted veteran and the moment's not too big for him. I think we've seen some Giants pitchers get a little bit overamped in this series and be uncharacteristically wild, like Dominic Leone and Harleen Garcia specifically. So probably the trusted guy for me might be McGee, although he did give up a hard line drive to Mookie Betts that was caught by Brandon Crawford. And then he gave up a home run, I think, to Will Smith in the eighth inning of game four. So I don't know exactly who that lefty would be if they need a lefty. But otherwise, yeah, Gausman's available. He could pitch multiple innings. If Webb gets into trouble early, I think Gausman would be who they would go to. And if Webb is pitching well, they could still go to Gausman for like an inning to bridge the gap to maybe Duvall to close it out. So yeah, that's got to be the pitching plan. You're not going to see the lesser arms in this bullpen unless the Giants have like a 12-run lead, or if they're behind by 12, you know. So hopefully it doesn't come to that. I mean, the 12-run lead I can live with, and then maybe you see Zach Littell or whoever else. But otherwise, they're going to just throw their best arms at you. They're not going to hold back Kevin Gausman for an NLCS game one start, which would be on Saturday in San Francisco, because they got to get there first. And this organization understands, like in the past, or some organizations might be a little more conservative and hold back Kevin Gausman because they want him to make that start. But you got to get there first. And so if they feel like he's the best shot they have to get to that game, they're going to use him. So that's the way I see it. And let's hope it plays out that way. Let's hope Logan Webb is sharp. Let's hope Julio Urias is not. And again, that right-handed lineup, I just see them being able to do something. I believe in this offense, and why not tonight to break out the bats? So anyway, we'll be back tomorrow breaking this one down. Good or bad, hopefully good. It's going to be an interesting episode. So we do these shows every single weekday. We've been with you all season long. It's been such a blast. And it all comes down to tonight. This is the first time the Giants have faced elimination, obviously, all season long. So let's see how they're able to handle it. And that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, gives you his unique perspective on the majors, both present and past. That show is free and available on all platforms as well. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's Kaspic. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review, and also liking, commenting, subscribing on YouTube. So thank you in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Go Giants, go Logan Webb. We'll see you then. You are now Locked On Giants.